Morning. We're going to be kind of all over the place. We're going to be in two separate passages of Scripture this morning. So we're in an Advent series. We've been in it since the beginning of December. Advent basically just means leading up to the arrival, the waiting of Jesus. And so most people today think Advent is about arrival of Santa, and I guess that is true as well, but more importantly than Santa, much more importantly than Santa, is we arrive, we wait, we have this anticipation for Jesus to come back for his church. And so really, the first week, there's four different aspects of Advent that we're going to be looking at. So the first week, we talked about what biblical hope looked like. We looked at Isaiah and how he was promised. He was this prophet that was called to share a message of, hey, look, repent or else judgment is coming. And then he also got this prophetic word from the Lord saying, look, Jesus is going to come. He's going to rule and reign. He's coming to save his people. And so Isaiah waited 700 years, right? Well, Isaiah died. But we have been waiting 700 years from when Isaiah was told that and was proclaiming that message to when the birth of Jesus came on the scene. So last week, we talked about Anna and we talked about Simeon and the idea of this promise that was coming, right? This waiting for the promise that Isaiah had talked about. And we see Jesus come on the scene and Anna and Simeon praise the Lord. They worship the Lord because Jesus actually was born and they got to see the fulfillment of Isaiah's, of the promise that was given to Isaiah. Well, then today, so we looked at week one, biblical hope. Week two, biblical waiting or promise. And then week three, today, is biblical joy and the joy that the Emmanuel, God with us, brings. And so I remember when I first fell in love. It was magical. It was amazing. The girl was perfect. She, I could see no wrong in her at all. She was kind. She was innocent. She was beautiful. Is beautiful, smart, funny, athletic, and all the things that I was hoping for in a woman. I did everything in my power to be with her, right? Just to be around her because her presence brought joy. And her name was Callie, and we were in the third grade. And it was amazing. I remember Callie. She actually had red hair. I remember she was invited to my birthday, a surprise birthday party for me. And then when my friend told her that I liked her, I cried in my room. True story. But in all seriousness, I remember what it was like to fall in love with my wife and the joy that that brought. The feelings, the giddiness, and all I wanted to do was be in her presence because in her presence, I was happy, I was joyful. And so what we're going to look at today is what true joy is. Have you guys ever been in that spot? Some of us have, some of us hasn't, you know, and just like I was even willing to put up with Sarah's like dad and her and his rules, right? That's how much I wanted to be with her. I just wanted to be in her presence because, I mean, her dad used to not let us even drive in the same car together. All these rules that I thought were so dumb, and now I'm thinking they weren't strict enough. But I was willing to go through so much and put up with so much because I wanted to be in her presence. And so as a funny kind of intro to our text this morning and to our message this morning, really is this is the joy that the presence of the Lord brings in our lives. Is this, I cannot wait to stay and remain in God's presence because of what it means to me and what it does for my life. So the answer to the question, or the question I'm going to ask this morning, is what is joy? The Greek word is chara or chara. I don't know how to exactly pronounce it. C-H-A-R-A. But it's synonymous for joy / chara. And it's a natural response. It's an actual reaction, natural reaction or response to the work of God. That is literally what biblical definition of joy is. It is a response or reaction to the work of God. And so it's defined in many different ways and used in many different contexts in Scripture, but we use the word enjoy, right? Oh, I enjoyed that. Well, we get enjoy from the word joy. It's that expression of goodness. It's the fulfillment of or satisfaction of something, right? So being satisfied in the Lord equals joy. Finding contentment in the Lord equals joy. We have used, I said this, I guess, several weeks ago, but when we say, man, I love Mexican food, or I love tacos, or I love donuts, or I love my football team, I love this, right? This is the, we use that same word for everything. The way I love my wife is the way that I love my dog, is the way that I love this church. It's all one word, right? Well, the same is true with joy. When we use the word joy today, it's like, oh, it's not the true biblical definition of what I really want to kind of unpack today. And true joy, if you give anything away from today, true joy would be being satisfied with being in the presence of God. That is what true joy is. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence," speaking in the presence of God, "is fullness of joy. And in your right hand, there are pleasures forever." So that is Psalm 16, verse 11. So above all else, joy is found in being in the presence of God, being in the presence of Jesus. That's where I want to spend our time here this morning. So Luke chapter 2, verse 10, I have it up here on the screen. It is probably the paramount, the classic verse of Christmas. It says, "Then the angel said to them," this is Mary and Joseph, "do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And then Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. So this is an angel of the Lord appearing to Mary and Joseph and explaining to them that, hey, look, joy is coming. The presence of Jesus is coming. Emmanuel, God is with us. And then Matthew chapter 2, angel speaking to or appears to the wise men, and there's a star in the sky. We know the text, but let's read it. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, "When they," that's the shepherds, or the wise men, "when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child Jesus was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with" what? "Exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had departed," and "when they had opened their treasures, they presented him, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So these two passages are linked. They have something, the common denominator, and the common denominator, it's a hard word to say, is the presence of Jesus and what the presence of Jesus equals in our lives, and that is joy. And so when we look at the word joy, there is no joy outside of an abiding relationship with Christ. We may have happiness, we'll get into that a little bit later this morning, but joy is only found in the satisfaction and the presence of Jesus. So these two passages are linked. They speak of Jesus' presence, the angel appearing to Mary and Joseph and saying, "Look, I'm bringing you great tidings of," or "I'm bringing you joy." And then the wise men, it says that they were joyful and they bowed down and they worshiped. So have you ever met someone who's just an unhappy person? Anybody? Right? So me and Sherry, okay, a few of us. We've met some unhappy people. Have you ever met someone that's just constantly complaining? Okay. Have you found yourself in that position? Right? You're just constantly complaining. You're like, okay, shut up, Kyle. Like, just quit complaining about this. You know? Okay, have you ever met someone that's just never content? There's no satisfaction. They're always looking for the next thing. They're always looking for the next relationship, the next job, the next person, the next whatever it is, and there's no satisfaction in their lives. Have you ever met somebody like that? Have you ever met someone that's just miserable to be around? Unfortunately, I think we have. Okay, well, let me ask you this question. Is that person, would you consider that person a joyful person? Would you want to model yourself after that person? No, it's so ugly on people, right? We can spot it a mile away. So let me ask a real question. If you want, you can be real. But how many people would say that of you at times? Can people look at you and say, wow, she or he is just no fun to be around. They're ungrateful. They're always complaining. You know, this is what it's like to not have the joy of the Lord in your life. We can easily spot that. And so the joy of the Lord is you're going to have fruits of the Spirit. You're going to have patience. How many of you guys would consider yourself patient people, right? How many would you consider yourself loving people? The joy of the Lord is going to manifest in loving not only your spouse and your kids and the people that you are close with, but it's going to manifest itself in loving others outside of your circle. How many people just are so irritated, or how many of you guys just get so irritated with people, you don't want to be bothered by them at times, right? It's like, that is not where we want to be. Amen. Hey, appreciate the honesty. I think we've all been there. There's two honest people. Actually, I didn't raise my hand, so one honest person. Actually, Jacob said it as well. So we had two honest people in this church, which is good, because I think we can all be in there, or we can all be in that season or that place at times in our lives. Well, when we are in that place, we know that the presence of the joy or the presence of the Lord is not, we're not near the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. We won't be experiencing these kinds of things when we are abiding and seeking the Lord. It's when we find ourselves isolated, we find ourselves really into what we're doing, and we find ourselves kind of distancing ourselves from the church, from other believers, from God's word, that we notice ourselves being in this position of just being unhappy or being ungrateful. Have you guys ever told your kids you're ungrateful? Right? I like just laugh says it all. So the joy of the Lord, there when there's the joy of the Lord, there's happiness, right? There's laughter. The joy of the Lord, there is compliments instead of complaints. Where there's the joy of the Lord, there's satisfaction instead of discontentment. In the joy of the Lord, you can spend, or you cannot wait to spend time with that person. So these are the attributes that we need to be seeking. So the joy of the Lord is gladness of heart that comes from three things. It comes from more than just these three, but these three are that really what I want to focus on. So the joy of the Lord comes from these three things: knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So these are three attributes that we would all strive to have, right? That we would know God and know God well, and that we would be abiding. That means remaining, that means seeking, that means being in the presence. Like, I couldn't wait to be in the presence of Sarah when we were dating. I just wanted to be with her, you know, just sit next to her. You know, it's like when you start dating, you just want your legs to touch, you know, you're like, get all giddy, right? So you want to be that way with Jesus. You just want to be so close to him. You just want to touch him. You just want to love him. You just want to have that intimate relationship with the Lord. This is that abiding in Christ. And the third one is you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's unpack these a little bit. So knowing God. How would you describe knowing a person? How would you determine what knowing a person would be? It means you would like know a little bit about them, right? I've used this analogy before, but I think it's so great. It's like when you have, like, we'll take Justin Bieber, right? When my daughter, when Bella was like 2 years old, Baby had come out. That song, Baby, Baby, oh. Bella literally knew she knew that Baby, Baby, oh. We'd put it on the car, and she would just be singing that over and over and over. And then there was this phenomenon. It used to be like the Beatles and Michael Jackson, you know. And then it was like Justin Bieber. There's this crazy fandom where all these guys, or all these girls mainly, were like, oh, Justin, right? And they knew so much about him. But if somehow they would have got Justin's phone number and they would have called him, what do you think Justin would have said? Like, you're a creep. I don't know you. You know a lot about me, but I don't know anything about you. And he would hang up on him, call security, and that girl would be taken away. Some of us in this room have a relationship with Jesus that way. We've read his word. We know about him, but there's no intimate relationship. There's no true knowledge and understanding of who God is. If you were to call Jesus, he'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Talks about it in the book of Matthew. And he says, you know, depart from me. So wait a minute, we did all these things. We cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick. We did all these things in your name. And Jesus says, look, depart from me, I never knew you. You knew a lot about me. You claimed to know me, but there was no relationship there. So knowing God To have the fullness of joy, to have that the joy of the Lord, you have to have a knowledge and understanding of who he is, but not only a knowledge, but that knowledge has to turn into action with our lives. Joy comes from knowing God. You know, it's that no peace, no God, and no peace, no God, you know, N-O versus K-N-O-W. The same thing as joy. If you don't have joy, if you don't know God, then you can't have joy. There is no joy outside of a relationship with Christ. Jesus is a true source of joy. So abiding in Christ, there is no joy where you're not intimately connected with Christ. There's a lot of Christians today or people who would profess Christ, and I don't know where they're at. That's between them and the Lord. But there are a lot of Christians today who live lives that there's no joy. And as I read Scripture, I don't see that consistent with Scripture. Now, we'll get to it. I'm not saying you can't have issues with anxiety. You can't have issues with fear and anger. All those things, that's just part of being human. But there's a joy of the Lord that is assurance, that is assured to you if you abide in Christ. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So we are in the house of the Lord today, right? This is a church gathering. It's not a sanctuary, but it looks pretty cool, right? So this is considered the house of the Lord. So when we are in the house of the Lord, David said that there is joy, right? I was glad. That word glad is the same as joy. I was joyful. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So let me ask you this question. When we come to church on Sunday, do we have the presence or do we have the joy of the Lord present with us? Are we expecting to hear from the Lord? Are we excited to be to gather with his people and to worship him? Okay, so we should be excited to be in his presence this morning. I thought the worship, the first set was amazing. I mean, those are awesome songs. Like I normally, Sarah knows I hate Christmas songs, right? She wants to listen to Christmas come like September 1, and I'm like, no, absolutely not. Christmas songs are the worst. But this morning, it was awesome. How many of you guys are with me? Okay, we got, all right, awesome, four people. All right, how many, okay, all right, I'll let you raise your hand, the other people. How many of you love Christmas songs? Listen, I love Christmas. I love all things Christmas. I don't love Christmas music, I'm sorry. But these songs were awesome, okay? So we have this joy because we come when we gather and we get to worship as a family together. That is abiding in Christ. Right? We remain with him. We seek him. God has given us an opportunity each and every Sunday, right, to gather together and to worship him and to praise him. And this is the presence. We are in the presence of God right now, which is a really cool thing. All right, and last, we're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So apart from the Spirit of God, we cannot experience true joy. So there's a difference between joy and happiness. Right? We know the differences. We're going to get to those in a minute. But we cannot experience true joy apart from having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 14, verse 17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. So that's basically saying, look, it's not this fleshly thing. It's not a physical thing. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We experience joy as believers because that's an attribute of the Holy Spirit. We don't do it because we're naturally happy people. We don't do it because we're kind, we're great. It's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is where joy comes from. Luke chapter 2, the angel appears to Mary and Joseph, and the angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be with all people. So when Jesus was born, these angels announced this good tidings of great joy. So every one of us who has been found by Jesus, every one of us who has been found by Jesus knows the joy that he brings. Circling back to, you know, the funny story I shared about the girl that I fell in love with, really, it was Sarah. But I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. I could not, every waking second, I just wanted to be with her. Every waking moment, I just wanted to be with her, right? I wanted to talk to her on the phone, and we couldn't talk on the phone for a long time because like, we didn't have call waiting, you know? And so, like, you can only spend, like, it's awkward. I call, you want to hear a funny story? It has nothing to do with our message, but I feel it's appropriate. I call her one time when I first get to know her, and I'm like, hey, it's Kyle. She's like, how'd you get my number, right? I got it from a friend. She never even gave me her number. I'm like, hey, it's me, you know, the guy, Kyle. And she's like, hi. I'm like, hey, do you want to, like, go to a movie or hang out? She's like, I can't. We got family night tonight. I'm like, okay, you know. I swear to you, I would not lie from the pulpit. She has never in her life had a family night prior or after that moment right there. She swears that that was legit, that she actually had a family night. And I call, you know, there's no way. There's no way. That was her way to get me off the phone. But anyways, I had to call her, right? That's an awkward thing, talk to her dad. Like just praying that George doesn't answer the phone. Like, please let it be one of her little sisters or brother, you know? So I call, I have to, because I just wanted to be like next to her. I wanted to be in her presence. You know, when you think of the joy of the Lord, you think of our relationship with Christ, have we lost that? Have we lost that desire to be in his presence? Have we lost that desire to want to be near to him? Because I think we can all tangibly grab a hold of somebody that we just wanted to be with or be around because they made us feel a certain way. Well, Jesus, the presence of Jesus in our lives will absolutely change our outlook on life. Every one of us understands, every one of us who has a true relationship with Jesus knows what it's like to be in his presence. And the very presence of Jesus in our lives brings joy to every believer. Jesus' mom, Mary, had a cousin. Her cousin was Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth had a son. His name was John. He ended up being John, who we know as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. Right, so there's this really neat story in Luke chapter 1 where Mary and Elizabeth, they're both pregnant, they're hanging out together, and Mary comes over to Elizabeth's house, and Luke 1:44 says this, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting," so in the sound of Mary's greeting, who's pregnant with Jesus, "came to my ears," Elizabeth's ears, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy." This is what the joy of the Lord does. It causes babies in the womb to leap for joy. John the Baptist, just being in the presence of Jesus, caused a reaction. Just the closeness and nearness of Jesus caused John to leap for joy. And then the wise men, let's circle back to the wise men who were told about Jesus and were told to bring gifts and we'll read chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says this, "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they saw the child, they were joyful." In verse 11, it says, "When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they had a response." What did they do? It says, "They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So notice what the wise men did when they were in the presence of Jesus. It says their response was to fall down and to worship him. The presence of God should incite a response in our lives. The presence of God, the presence of Jesus in our lives will change our lives completely. You have an experience where the Lord meets you in a place that will forever change. Have you guys ever been in that spot where you're like, wow, God met me there, and you are forever marked by that? I think of Jacob when he was kind of hiding and running from his brother because he stole his brother's porridge, right? Or he stole his brother's birthright. And so he's kind of hiding out. And the Lord met with him, right? And the presence of a person, and they wrestled. It says Jacob wrestled with the Lord, like a physical wrestling match. And it says Jesus was this incarnation of Jesus. He touched Jacob's hip, and it became out of socket. And Jacob was forever changed, and he walked with a limp because of his experience with Jesus. He was met by the Lord, and it changed him forever, and his life was forever marked by his experience with the Lord. So these wise men, they responded to the experience that they had. They responded in worship. They adopted this attitude of worship. They fell down and worshiped the Lord. So in the presence of Jesus, people will have one of two reactions most of the time. One, it'll cause shame, leading to separation from God. Or two, it'll cause a conviction that leads us to worship him. And I think I've personally been in both spots, where I've had this experience with the Lord. I've been in his presence, and I couldn't get out of it fast enough because of my own sin, my own shame, my own willful disobedience to him. If you guys ever been in that spot, and what you want to do is you want to kind of put your arm out, because in the presence of God, there's that conviction, right? So we can push God away as a defense mechanism. We can put up a wall or harden our heart because of our own pride or own insecurities. And it can create a barrier. We can create a barrier between us and Jesus, kind of as a defense mechanism to protect ourselves. Because we, in God's presence, we understand who we are. Jesus met Peter in the boat. We talked about it several weeks ago, too. In Luke chapter 5, when Jesus called Peter to go out and fish, and Peter's like, I didn't catch anything. Like, there's no point in going out. But he says, okay, Lord, I'll do it because you're telling me to do it. So he puts his net down to catch a bunch of fish. And sure enough, he started to catch so many fish that his nets were breaking, right? And what kind of, in the presence of Jesus, what did that cause Peter to do? He says he fell down and he worshiped the Lord. Right? And then you have this Judas moment as well, where Judas was in the presence of Jesus, and his conviction and his sin and his heart caused him to harden his heart and to push Jesus away. Do you think Judas knew who Jesus was? That's why he went out and hung himself, because he realized what he did. So there's two reactions here to us as sinners. One, we fall down and worship because we realize who we are in the presence of God. Or two, we push God away and we create this barrier between us and him. There's no better place to be than in the presence of God, especially if you're in sin. Especially if you're in sin. Jesus says, look, run to me, come to me. You want joy and you want fullness of joy? It's found in my presence. Don't push me away. Draw near to me. Pull me in close. Jesus will pull us in close, but he's not going to force himself on us. His desire is that we would want to abide in him and that he would show us and he would fulfill in us that joy that we're missing. The response we choose says everything about where we're at with our relationship with Christ. If our natural tendency is to push away and to build up barriers and walls, that means you're not experiencing the presence of the Lord. You're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. How many of us are sinners? Raise your hand. Good. Okay. So then what do we do in our sin? Do we push away or do we draw near? That's the question. Because we can't hide from him. Hebrews chapter 4 says everything's open. Everything's naked to him who sees. He knows it all. It's how we choose to respond in our sin. It's how we choose to respond says everything about where we want to be. So in closing, what is joy? Joy is an attitude that we as God's people adopt. It's not because our circumstances are so great. It's not because everything's going well. That does not create joy. That creates happiness. Joy is a response that we choose to adopt that says, no matter what, I'm going to be satisfied in him. Joy is not determined by the struggles that we have or that we don't have. Joy is not determined by how well things are working out in our favor or not working out in our favor. Joy is choosing to believe that Jesus has the best intentions for you, that all things will work together for the good for those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. Joy is found in believing those things over believing what the world has to say. There's a difference between what biblical joy looks like and what happiness looks like. Happiness is a feeling, but joy is much more. It's a position that we take in Christ. Happiness is fleeting. It's here one second, it's gone the next. It's like when Callie was invited to my house, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And then when they told her that I liked her, it was the worst day of my life, you know? It's like one moment I'm excited, the next moment I'm crushed. That is happiness, right? Joy is everlasting. Joy is everlasting satisfaction in the presence of Christ. Happiness depends on our circumstances or depends on the people that we're with, where joy, it's a gift from the Lord. Happiness is something that the world offers for temporary satisfaction, but joy is from the Lord, and no one can take the joy of the Lord away from you. So having the joy of the Lord doesn't mean that we're never going to feel anxious, that we're never going to go through spouts of anger or depression or anxiety, hurt, pain. That does not mean that you don't have the joy of the Lord. That is part of being human. That is part of the sin nature that we have. It's choosing to believe what God says about you and standing in his presence. That's joy. Don't fool yourself into thinking that if you're feeling a certain way or you feel sad or you feel upset, or you have this anxious feeling that you're not walking with Jesus. That's a lie from the enemy. The enemy wants you to feel defeated so he can get you isolated and he can attack you. Experiencing the joy of the Lord is pressing into those things and saying, God, I'm feeling this way. I can't make myself unfeel it. Your joy is going to have to fill me. Your love is going to have to fill me because I'm incapable of doing it myself. The joy is a position that we have in Christ. It's not a feeling that we have. So joy is choosing to believe those things despite our circumstances. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we need you, Jesus. We are incapable of just stirring up or mustering up this joy in our lives. It's something that your Holy Spirit has to give us, Lord, and I pray that we would humble ourselves, Lord, and we are feeling unworthy. We are feeling disconnected. We are feeling dissatisfied. Lord, I pray that we would take those feelings and those thoughts and we would run to you, Jesus. Lord, and it says that in your presence there is fullness of joy. Lord, why would we ever try to leave your presence to experience joy? I have no idea, but Lord, forgive us for those times that we do. Lord, I pray that, your word says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, so I pray for us here this morning, anyone here in this church that is maybe experiencing or not experiencing the joy of the Lord, God, I pray that whatever that is, God, that they would turn that over to you now this morning. Lord, that they would just surrender fully to you. God, that they would believe what your word has to say over what the world has to say. God, I pray that they would surrender completely. Lord, and I pray for those who during this time of Christmas, and maybe it's not the most joyful. Maybe they've missed a loved one, or God, you know our hearts, you know our struggles. I pray that they would find joy and contentment and happiness and all those things in your presence, God. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here. Jesus, we thank you for being here. God, we thank you for teaching us. Lord, your word is infallible. It's true. We read from your word. God, would you help us just to digest your word here this morning? So, Lord, we love you, Jesus, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.